Yo, it is the season finale of the Daddy Daughter Dance. Can you believe it?
Wow. It seems like just yesterday we started it.
I know. But at the same time, it doesn't. We've gained a lot of wisdom in the last 10 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just now. So you just sat in the chair, got up, adjusted your mic for recording, got your headphones, plugged in your headphones to the jack, plugged in your XLR cable to port 2. You know, I'm just sitting here ready to go, got the computer ready, restarted the computer because we had it freeze that one time, and now we restart the computer every time before we record. Close out all the programs.
Wow.
We have a protocol. Like, we know what to do.
Yeah.
To record a podcast. And 10 episodes ago, we started with our phones in our hands, looking like we're talking into the bottom of our phones. And now we just kind of go into, oh, yeah, we're going to record. All right. 14 seconds later, we do it. We're ready to do it. Kid, how you doing? You got to say something.
I'm good.
How are you?
Good.
Yeah, how you feeling?
Fine.
Okay, so you know the rules. You got to use more than just one word answers. Now you have already used good and you've already used fine. So.
It's been a tough couple weeks.
Yeah, it has. It's been a butt kicker for the Barnes family a little bit.
Yeah.
How are you feeling with it, though?
I need to find a word other than good and fine.
Yeah, a series of words, hopefully.
You asked how I'm feeling about a tough week.
Yeah. What feelings are you feeling more often than normal in a tough week?
Probably hopeful.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's good. Have you felt a little sadness this week?
Yeah.
A little frustration?
Mm-hmm.
A little anger.
Mm-hmm.
A little lost.
Mm-hmm.
A little confused.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those are all good. Those are all descriptive words for feelings. So I know that you've experienced those. And ironically enough, so have I. It's just been that kind of week.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, you don't even know the majority of the things that I've actually dealt with or gone through this week. Part of that's on purpose. I don't like to present problems without some sort of solution. And some of this stuff is tough for me to deal with, on my own. So I need to make sure that I kind of deal with it in a healthy way so that I can share it with you and not actually take that back. I don't have to have a solution to talk about it with you. I just have to be kind of centered. I have to be okay. And for me to be okay, that means I have to spend some time with God on some of the stuff and pray a lot about it. And yeah, part of my responsibility as your parent is to make sure that I am contributing to your welfare and your security and your feelings of safety. And so, yeah, it's been a challenging week. We don't have to get into the details. How about that? Okay. You have to say words. Remember, they can't see you.
Okay.
So we don't have to get into details. We won't get into details, actually. I'll tell you kind of my stuff, you know, as it comes along and comes up. And then you'll tell me your stuff as it comes along and comes up. Last time I remember that there was some situations that you were going through. I was giving you some breathing room. This time, I want to start this podcast praying. I want to start praying this time because it just has been a heavy week for both of us. And that's how I want to make sure that I'm encouraging you to handle heavy weeks and hard weeks, is to start and end with God in it. Because, you know, as much as we want to, we don't always have the answers, you know. I know I don't have the answers for you, and I know that you won't have the answers for me, but I know who always has the answers. So I just want to pray real quick just to open up this time and kind of release some of this stuff to God. I know that it's been frequent that I've been coming to him this week and often. So you want to pray with me?
With you?
I said, yeah. You ready to pray?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Dear Lord, I don't always have the right words. I don't even know how to pray sometimes, if I'm being honest. There are situations that come up that seem like they are in direct conflict with the promises that you've made for your children. There are situations and times, Lord, in all of our lives that just feel bad, make us sad, break our hearts, cause us to feel grief, cause us to feel separated from you. As you've promised us, Lord, you promised that every time we pray that you're listening, and every time two or more of us are gathered that you're there. And that's sometimes, Lord, all we can hold on to. All we can kind of know or rely on is that you're there and that you hear us, that you hear our groans and our grumbles, that you're there in those things through us, even when we don't have words. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf, even when we don't have words. Even when we don't know how to pray, we don't know what to pray for. I'm telling you, Lord, I'm sitting right there right now, today, this week. I don't know what to pray for. I don't know. I don't know if I am praying for strength to continue or praying for strength to rethink, to search. I don't know. I don't even know. I don't know what to pray for Hannah either. I know that she's had some situations, and I don't exactly know how to pray for those either, you know? I just know that I have to ask you to be involved. I have to ask you for your guidance, for your help, for your support, because your children need you. All through the Bible, there's scripture and prayers of just asking for you to be there, asking for you to step in where we need you. So we pray for that. We just ask you to step in, ask you to be with us. Continue to be with us. Continue to show us how to best serve you, how to grow in you, how to grow together, and then how to show that to the world. We love you and we thank you for answering these prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, daddy-daughter dance.
Yeah.
That happened this past Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you feel about that?
It was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do it. It was because that was a good time. If there's anything that's going to cheer me up today, it's thinking about the daddy-daughter dance. Yeah. Seriously. Everything. I was going to say, not just like recording today, but like thinking about the time that we had, it was so good. I think that my knee has been hurting ever since then because we danced so much. But it was so worth it.
Yeah.
So really worth it. Tell me about it. What was your favorite part of the dance?
Well, like I said, when we were talking about the beginning, like before it happened,
yeah.
I said that I really liked the song My Girl by The Temptations.
Yeah.
And I wanted to like play that again, you know?
Yeah.
So that was one of my favorite parts. I have a bunch of favorite parts.
All right. Well, tell them. Talk about them. We got
I really liked the candy bar that they had.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Renee Pierce.
Candy
bar. She did. She does such a great job with that thing. Seriously.
Yeah.
The candy bar, for those of you that don't know, is a bar with candy on it. And so every type of candy you could think of was represented at this candy bar in jars or cups or containers. And there was a bag that you, like, bags on the side or other cups that you could take and fill up with, like, you know, it's like going to a candy shop, but for free.
Yeah.
It was amazing. People were having that before dinner. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, you like the candy bar.
Yeah.
You like My Girl. What else?
Probably the fact that I was pretty much, me and my friends were pretty much all on the dance floor, like, the whole night.
Yeah.
And I told you this already, but the fact that we were on the dance floor pretty much all night influenced a couple other girls to, like, get on the dance floor and dance with their dads, which I really liked, and that made me really happy.
Yeah, you know what? It totally should. I was just, I was having a conversation today, actually, and Hannah, who shares your name.
Ledley?
Hannah Ledley was like, your girl got Rosie out on the dance floor, and she danced the whole time and danced a lot and she was not wanting to dance, and you got her out on the dance floor, and she saw that in my Instagram video, and she was just like, that's the best thing ever. She said she didn't want to dance, but then your girl got her out to dance, and that was so awesome. So yeah, so kudos to you. I loved that part too. I loved seeing you guys on the dance floor. Tell me about that. Tell me about you and your friends tearing up the dance floor the whole time.
We, like, me, Gigi, Rosie, Adira, a few others, like, were on the dance floor all night, and, like, just dance, pretty much dancing to every single song, even if, like, we didn't know it.
Yeah.
We would just dance to it, and if we did know it, we'd, like, sing really loud and dance, like, extra hard if we, like, if we didn't know it.
Yeah.
Which was really fun. I really loved it.
Yeah. You want to know my favorite part?
What?
Your dress.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful. There is a video of, that's right. It's your screensaver now.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a, your mom was over here, and she, like, she set it all up, so I didn't see you, whatever. I got dressed in one room, you got dressed in the other, and then I got to see you afterwards. And we had, I mean, everything together. It was such a great day, because we went and got your nails did.
My hair done.
We went and got your hair done, your hair did. And then we came back here, you know, just enough time to get dressed. And then get over to the dance.
Oh, and we got a new phone.
Yeah.
Both did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Here's the beauty of upgrades nowadays in life is that they really don't cost you anything. And yours was due for an upgrade.
Yeah.
So, or mine was or something. I don't know. But yeah, great. No out of pocket. Amazing. Then we go get hair done. Then we get nails done. Then we get back here and I get to see you in a brand new dress. It was like incredible. You look so great. It was... The dress was, like, almost all the way to the floor and flowy.
It pretty much was to the floor.
Yeah.
And I really liked it because I, like, the past couple of years, the last 2 years, I've worn short dresses. And even if I did wear a long dress, it'd probably go to my knees since I'm so tall.
Yeah.
And I really liked the fact that it was long because I was able to, like, I don't know. I think long dresses are really pretty.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I never really wear long dresses.
Yeah.
So that was like my first time really wearing them. And like, don't get me wrong, short dresses are nice, but
yeah.
I just
want to clarify one thing. You keep saying short dresses, and something inside my soul like curls up and dies. Like almost every time you say short dress. But it's not. It wasn't really a short dress. You didn't have a short dress on.
No, not short.
Okay. Well, you said it. I think you said it in the last one too, and I was like, yeah, but that's not. It was like to your knees. That's not short.
Okay, medium dress.
Yeah. Okay, medium dress. Because you don't wear short dresses as long as you live in my house. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just the truth. So, but yeah. So medium dresses.
Or just a dress.
Yeah.
And then a long dress is longer.
It was that this was much longer. This was like I said.
Like to the
just
floor.
Covered your new Tommy Hilfiger kicks.
Yeah.
It was so cute. It was so cute. The whole everything was great.
I was really happy that we got Tommy Hilfiger shoes.
Yeah.
Like they just kind of not sneakers but
they're simple, yeah.
Just flat shoes because yep. I did not want to wear heels all night.
Yeah.
Or like anything because even though it was a flat shoe, excuse me, since we were on the dance floor all night, my legs all were night. Still killing me.
Yeah.
You know, even though I didn't wear heels. I probably would have taken my heels off if I did wear them, but totally. Still.
Totally. Yeah, and it was such a treat this year. So this is our third year doing it. And it was such a treat this year because I think one of the greatest gifts that I got and I received from this year's daddy-daughter dance was just being able to show up on time, like when the dance started, and then leave when the dance left.
Yeah.
When it was over. Because last year, I think I was there at noon. Dance started at 5. You know what I'm saying? I brought my shoe, my clothes to change into because yeah. we were setting up and everything.
And then we both brought a pair of clothes to change out of.
Right. We both bought another pair of clothes to clean. And we were there until 10 or 11, 11 o'clock last year.
Really?
Yeah. But it was just so nice. It was so nice to just go and show up, you know? And Courtney did such a great job with her team and Lindsay and Renee. And
everybody.
Just everybody did such a great job. Those teams were just amazing. They set up and did all the things. You know, I still participated. I still got the DJ. I still hosted. You know, I still did the emceeing.
Yeah.
Which I love. But it was just nice to show up and leave, you know, show up on time, host, you know. I remember I loved asking you, I asked you in the middle of it. I was like, or afterwards, I can't remember whenever I asked you, but I was like, so what's it like for you that I emcee these things, you know, because I got the microphone and I'm like, hey, welcome to the third annual Daddy Daughter Dance at Soul City Church. You know?
Say that like 50 times.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because it's kind of what I do. And so, you know, I'm doing that. And then I'm, you know, got the prayer in the middle. And then we're trying to host the big event with the big moment with all the confetti and all that stuff. And just running around doing that, making sure everybody's good. And I was like, hey, do you mind that I like do this and I run around and host and I MC and all that kind of stuff? And what'd you say?
I forgot.
Really?
I don't remember.
Probably because you're chewing on your necklace right now. What are you trying to figure out right now?
No, it's knotted.
Oh, it's knotted. Okay. Well, I'm pretty sure that you can do it in about 30 minutes when you're not recording. Anyways, you said, no, I love it. And I was like, really? Like, you love it that I host and I'm hosting, I'm running around doing all things. She's like, yeah, I love it. I love when you do this stuff. I love when you host this stuff. I'm like, are you sure? I mean, if you didn't remember, then maybe you didn't really feel that way.
I do, Dad. It's, you know, it's been a busy week.
Yeah, it has been. I know. I even said, let's record that night. But anyways, we didn't. I did.
Don't make me feel bad.
I'm not going to make you feel bad. I'm just saying. You would have had all the thoughts right there in your mind. Anyways.
You're so rude.
Sometimes I'm rude. So yeah, it was great. Any other favorite parts?
Every part.
Yeah, pretty much every part. You know
every
what?
Every part was my favorite part. Oh, no. Sorry, that was loud.
Sorry.
The the very, very end.
Yeah.
Not at the dance, but at home.
Okay.
When we got home.
Yeah.
Then did we start watching a movie?
I don't remember.
I don't remember. But you asked if I wanted food. I think I was just in my bed because we were laying. I changed my two favorite parts when we got home.
Yeah.
I got home and then I like looked at myself in the mirror and I felt so pretty, felt so confident.
Yeah.
And then I went to my closet and I changed into a baggy, some joggers, some gray joggers, my Camp Timberly joggers.
Yeah.
And a baggy tie-dye shirt.
Yep.
And that was one of my favorite parts. And then you asked me if I was hungry at all. And I was. And you ordered Crave Kebab. And I just wanted a large fry. And then we were just eating. And those fries are so good.
Yeah. I think we watched Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Did
that
we?
That was what we watched, yeah.
I was going to say it, but I didn't know if that was true or not.
Yeah, we did.
So yeah, we watched Ace Ventura while eating Crave Kebab.
Yeah, and in baggy clothes.
In baggy clothes.
Favorite part. Saturday night.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good.
And it feels so good. Like when you're dressed all fancy.
Yeah.
Just to like get in some nice, comfy clothes.
Yeah,
you know?
It feels great.
Like, don't get me wrong. My dress was like pretty comfortable, but still.
And bomb. Yeah. One of my favorite parts of the dance. Actually, my favorite part was, so my friend Monica was like, she looked over and she was like, Hannah is just dancing away. She goes, does she do that every time? Does she like just dance the whole night on the dance floor? Like every time?
Nope.
And I was like, no, she doesn't. I was like, that's what's so awesome. I'm like, she's just getting more confident. You can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it getting more confident. I love that you felt beautiful. You were so beautiful. You know, like you just danced the whole time. And like my mom, I was posting a lot of the videos I just sent straight to her, but she was posting those. And I think she just loved like seeing you dance and loved like seeing you have a good time, you know. And that was just so cool, man. It's just so awesome because you're one, you know, like you'd kind of like be with me the whole time, you know, like kind of follow me around. Then year two, I remember you had, you know, a couple more friends came and then year three, it's like you're kind of leading and hosting the party a little bit. Like you, Gigi, Olivia, Rosie, Adira, like y'all's little crew was just like hosting the party. It was so awesome.
And
it was so good.
Speaking of Monica, when you were talking with her,
I
was at the edge of the dance floor, and I threw a
around
you, and then she started laughing, and then I started like pulling the imaginary rope, and you started like coming over, and then you started the dancing.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was so awesome. So like so for those of you that didn't catch that, she threw, you know, like that, like a little imaginary lasso. And then, you know, and then when you catch the person, they act caught and then they start reeling you in the imaginary rope. And I just was acting like I was caught and I was getting pulled to the dance floor. And then I just started dancing. It was fun, man. It was fun. I love that. I want to do that forever. I don't know what it looks like when you get too cool for school.
Never.
But we're going to figure it out. I don't care. I'll start a company. Don't threaten me. I'll start a company that does daddy-daughter dances for all ages. I don't know if I said it out loud last time, but I'm getting serious about it.
You didn't say company. You said you'll do it for all ages, though.
Yeah. Well, seems like it might be a company. Who knows? Anyways. Yeah. Anyways. It was incredible. Daddy-daughter dance was incredible. Yeah. You know what? And look at that. Just talking about that, it kind of helped us snap out of our week a little bit. Let's talk about something serious, though. What? Don't be scared. You know what it is.
No, I don't.
We had a pre-production meeting. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. First and foremost, this is episode 10 of season 1 of the Daddy Daughter Podcast. Share it together. This is our last episode, folks. For a little bit of time. Just want y'all to know that. But Don't be disappointed, okay? We do have a bonus episode. We have one bonus episode for season one coming later in the week, if not next week. But one more episode. We're going to go one more episode. That one's probably going to be a little bit different format than most of them that we've done so far. But we have one more episode coming. So, it's our last episode, but we have one more episode. But we still got to talk about something that's pretty serious and pretty important. And to be honest with you, parents, if you have not been paying attention up until this point, I suggest you pay attention. This is the most important part of the whole thing we've talked about, maybe even in the Daddy-Daughter podcast in general. Seriously, I think it's that important. So first, I want you to tell everyone what I did. What you did and how that got recognition and what that recognition looked like. And then take it away from there.
So we, in my reading class, we were creating plays with this, I don't want to say company. I don't think it's a company, but just like this thing called Epic. And it's an acronym. I forgot every letter or every, yeah, what every letter stands for. But it's pretty much like a playwriting class.
Yep.
And so we did that, and we were creating our own plays about, and so our like whole month doing Epic was supposed to be like about empathy and about like showing empathy.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And so everybody in the class who took it had to do a play about empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was people who, like, I don't know who, what everybody did, just the people who, like, were called up to.
Yep. Just, we'll get to the topics in a minute. Just tell me specifically what happened to you about this. Oh, yeah.
So when I created my play, I wasn't really expecting to get any recognition. Like, I knew my teachers were going to read it, just like,
yeah,
I didn't know they were going to like it enough to choose me.
Yep.
And so they chose me to read it from by professional actors.
Yeah.
They brought four who performed every single play.
Yep.
But if there was an extra character, yep, like one who needed to play it.
Yep. They would jump in. There's someone else would jump in.
Yeah. They would just jump in. And then.
And there was a narrator and then either three or four characters.
Not a narrator. A state, like every play had to have stage direction.
Yeah.
And so there was someone who read the stage direction and read the 2 to 3 characters.
Yep. Yep. And you were chosen out of, there was probably like 8 or 10 of y'all. And out of how many students was it?
I don't know. And a bunch.
Like 50 or 60 in the room when I was in there. So yeah. So you got chosen. I don't even know how it happened, but like 11:20 at night, the night before last Thursday.
Wasn't it like 11:15?
It was 11:20. Stop. I can hear that. It was about 11:20. I got an email, and at 9:15 the next morning, your plays were going to be read by professional actors. So out of like the 8 to 10, probably 10 students or 10 plays, out of the 10 plays, I think maybe like 3 or 4 sets of parents came. I know like there might've been 4 total parents. One, Miles' mom and dad came. I came, and then one other girl's mom came, and that's it. So, like, it wasn't exactly the best timed because they told us literally less than 10 hours before they were performed. Mm-hmm. But I was able to get over there. Thank God. It was last Friday. So I was able to get over there, and honestly, it blew my mind. What I witnessed, first of all, thank you so much to you. Because if it wasn't for you doing so well on this play, I wouldn't have been able to be in that room. And honestly, it was one of those life kind of changing moments for me. I'm not going to lie. It started to shift the way that I think. I think that I'm a in tune-ish kind of parent. I know that I create space to listen. I mean, we're on episode 10 of it. Even though we've been doing this before, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But like, I know that we create intentional space, and I was blown away by the topics that came out of that those plays. Do you want to tell me some of the topics? Parents, this is the part you listen up, because this is what our 11, 12, 13-year-old kids are talking about, discussing, writing plays about. Do you know?
So there was one, one of them was about teen pregnancy, which is mine.
Yeah. Two of them about teen pregnancy.
Two, yeah.
One of them being yours.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And then there was one about gender equality.
Yep.
Like boys and girls, yep, or men and women are equal.
Yep.
Gender, I forgot the word you said.
Ambiguity.
Ambiguity.
Yep.
Which is...
And choice. So basically...
Like who
identifying
you... As identifying as... Like
male
if you,
or female.
Yeah. If you're a girl, but are they them or yeah, a boy?
Yeah. And pronouns. Yep.
Yeah. Like pronouns and stuff like that.
Yep.
Then there's one about mental health.
Yep. A few of them. A few. There are at least two, maybe three about mental health, but specifically suicide. Let's get back to that one in a minute.
And then there was,
I'm going to take over, and I'm going to take over only because I have them written down in front of me, and I want to pump these out so that parents hear in a succinct amount of time how many issues there are, because these are not issues that we talked about when we were 12 years old. Okay. Gender equality and women's rights, misogyny, bullying, gender ambiguity and choice, religious intolerance, racial intolerance, sex, periods, pads, tampons, pregnancy tests, teen pregnancy, police brutality and injustice. But not just police brutality and injustice, also the other side. What happens to the cop's family? How his life is destroyed? How his community and marriage can be destroyed? Just unfair things. There's so much injustice talked about in these plays. It was incredible. There was chronic pain and disease talked about. There's mental health and suicide. And I wanna talk a little bit more about the suicide one. They were all incredible. They were all incredible. Yours was incredible. Honestly, the thing that I was the most blown away about by though is that sitting in a room of 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, and you know, like, I mean, we had like sex ed when I was a kid, you know what I'm saying? And through the whole thing, everybody giggled. Like they showed the diagram with the man's penis and it was like, you know, same thing, whatever. And you guys literally sat there and heard about a pregnancy test that had got hidden in the garbage and no one flinched. You heard about sex, no one flinched. Heard about parents. You know what? Another topic that I didn't mention. Parents, it's our reaction. It's the reaction that we have to these topics with our kids. Our insensitivities are what they talk about and what are in their place. It was incredible. I honestly wish that we could record. We could have recorded that whole day and played that video for any parent who has a kid this age. Because it is light years above and beyond what we talked about, what we were comfortable talking about. Honestly, there's parts of me that are like, I don't want to say that word right now. Do you know what I'm saying? Because of the way that we were raised not to talk about these things, not to identify these things, not to be empathetic to these things. Like, what a powerful message.
Yeah.
What a powerful thing. I had no idea. I'm not going to lie. I don't know how somehow I missed the memo on all these things, the specific topics. I knew that yours was on teen pregnancy, and that kind of made me die inside a little bit, but not because nothing personal, but more like, oh my gosh, she's talking about teen pregnancy. That means that we're talking about sex. That means, you know what I'm saying? And when you and I were talking about it, you were like, well, I was going to do, you know, rape, but then I decided not to. And I was like, oh my God, 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 oh my God. This is like, and you know what? Honestly, if I feel like that and I'm entering into ushering and facilitating conversations, then geez, what has everyone else got to be feeling like out there? You know what I'm saying? People that maybe don't talk to their kids as much, but parents, it is. You know what I realized? And the tagline that I got from this whole thing, the mental tagline was, the internet is going to raise your children if you do not. Moms and dads, the internet is going to raise your children if you do not. I promise. Information is flowing at light speed. Our kids are getting it on TikTok, Snapchat, Google search, Wikipedia. Doesn't matter. Their search bar has more information than we ever had access to in our whole life. And these kids are going to be raised. And here's the thing. I'm definitely not going to ever be one that says, no, you know, let's try to manage the amount of information that my kid gets. Let's like not give her a phone, keep her off of the things and doing the stuff. That's how people end up getting in trouble in the end. That's how like pastors' kids are go crazy. Ultimately, my generation preacher's kids. I was a preacher's kid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And because we kind of had he kind of had his foot on our neck for a certain amount of time. Like we were like supposed to go crazy. You know, like once we got access to it, right? When we're allowed to go out the house, and we're allowed to go, and we went off to college or whatever it is, and that's kind of the scenario. This is not that anymore, guys. We cannot control the amount of information that goes to our kids. What we have to do is we have to step into that gap with them. We have to step into that stream of information with them.
Yeah.
Because they talk about it, they know it, they understand it, and you don't even know that they know it. And that's the crazy part. We don't even realize what our kids know because information is so fast and so readily available now in the world. For me, it was powerful. It was powerful. It made me positive that I want to make sure I continue to create and open this space. I think that it might even have given us like a ton more topics to talk about, you know, because I want to make sure that I'm having those conversations with you. You know, I want to talk to you about like what it looks like, what, you know, teen pregnancy looks like. I don't want you to just talk about it with your friends. I don't want you to just get the information from your friends because I don't think that that's healthy either. I think that it's healthy to have an informed, healthy adult to be able to talk to about these things. And so for me, it was incredible. So kudos to you for even getting me in that room. Like I said, 70% of the parents whose kid got chose did not have an opportunity to get in there because of however the timing was. I just happened to work a block away. Thank God. For real, thank God. Because I was able to listen to some of the things that you know, understand, talk about. And just based on what my life was, it's so much different. It's so much different. And the fact that you guys aren't like giggling. I think I saw some kids giggle because someone's name was like the same in the play as it was like as a person. Like, oh, I remember one of the characters was Onyx or Ari or whoever. Was it? Anyways, it doesn't matter. That's not bad. But their names were the same. And so then it was like, oh, his name is Ari, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was the extent of it. Otherwise, guys, they're comfortable hearing about these things. They're comfortable talking about those things. I think the artist, the writer, every time was like a little bit mortified. Like, you're like, oh my gosh, they're reading my play. Which, hey, welcome to creating things.
That's normal because
there, like, you go.
When you left when we were doing the Q&A.
Before, yeah.
Or before we were doing the Q&A.
Yep.
And the Q&A was with the four actors who performed their play. And we just asked, like, what they did before, what college they went to.
Yeah.
And then one of the actresses, she was one of my favorite actresses who played it. Or one out of my favorite, she was it.
Yeah.
And so she was telling us, like, when you create something, you're never really going to like how it sounds. Like, mm-hmm. that's just normal.
Yeah.
Because like it. When like people create music, they'll think it's terrible, but other people think it's like a hit and yeah. like amazing.
That's good.
And then once when you hear like your voice, like with recording.
Yeah.
And when she said that, I was like, podcasting, like the first podcast we did, I hated how I sounded.
Yeah.
And then you like kept telling me, like, no one cares how you sound. It's only you.
Right.
You're the only one who really cares.
Right.
And that's exactly what she said. Like,
right.
no one else cares what you sound like. You're the only one who really
is gonna care. Critique it that way. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna critique it.
Yeah.
It's not that people don't care.
Right.
But just like, yeah, it was really cool. And then, like, she said the same thing with playwriting.
Yeah.
And that's what she said, because she realized that, like, a few of the writers of the plays were, like you said, a bit mortified. And
yeah.
I was, because, yeah. like, I just didn't know how people were going to react to it. Like,
yeah.
I knew they weren't going to be like, boo, this play sucks. I knew they weren't going to do
right,
that.
Right, because I was in the room, that's why. They know
sure,
better.
Sure. We'll say that. But
I'm really nice guys, I promise.
But yeah, I knew they weren't gonna like boo me, but
yeah.
But I just didn't know how they were gonna react. You know, you don't really know your audience until it really happens, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, well, you have an idea, right? You kinda have an idea what your audience is gonna like or
yeah.
think or whatever. And you can write with an audience in mind. But you never know how they're going to receive it, if it's going to go off the way you think it's going to happen.
Same thing with, like, fans. Like,
yeah.
when people write music.
Yeah.
Like, fans of those music artists.
Yeah. They chop up. They say, it's the best thing ever. Or, it's the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
Like, you did a better job last song. You suck now, you know? All that stuff. Yeah. One day you're going to have to get used to that. One day someone's going to be like, yeah, Hannah, you suck at podcasting. What are you going to say?
No, I don't.
Yeah, that's right. I know I don't. My identity is in Jesus.
Ooh.
No. Yeah, it was. I'm glad that you heard that from her, too. And I'm always going to be glad when you have, you know, get some of the opinions of other people out there. But yeah, that's what I was saying. You know, when I mean, sometimes I can't stand hear myself. You know what I do a lot is once I want to hear the recording back, I'll be like, ugh, I wish I said this. Or
yeah.
this is the witty thing that I had to say. Or, you know, like, oh, there's a scripture there that I wish I could have thought of it, you know,
yeah.
at the time, you know. But so, yeah, we're hard on ourselves with the things that we create, but they always do. They're people aren't as hard on us as we are on us a lot of the times. So it's good to remember. But yeah, the topics were incredible. The plays were incredible. I mean, what do you think you want to do with playwriting now? I mean, do you want to write more plays? Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I think I definitely want to. I really like playwriting and doing stuff like that, but I think I would do more stuff
yeah.
with like writing and playwriting and stuff like that. Like, I know before, like I told you a few times that I wanted to be a writer and an
yeah.
author because
yep.
I just really like writing and I guess using my creativity in a way that I can understand and other people might be able to understand.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Yeah, I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see. You know, I was, you know who I texted the day that I texted, I was trying to think, what was the name of the play? Hamilton. So remember, you guys went to Hamilton? So my friend David Blau, he got us tickets to Hamilton. I got sick that day, so I wasn't able to go. Boo, Joel. But you went, and that was a couple years ago. And you and I have talked about that play. I've gone since then. I went with my friend Liza. And then we have played the music and whatever, whatever, whatever. And I texted him. I don't even think I told you this. I was on my way over there. I was walking down to go see the actors perform your scripts. I'm not sure if we made that clear. So you got chosen. There's 10 people. And the actors actually read through your scripts. There was
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm on my way and I'm just like such a proud, I'm having a proud dad moment. But then you know what? There's so many people that are involved in our stories and it's impossible to think about them. But when we do, I want to make sure that we thank them. You know what I'm saying? Like thank the people that are contributing to our lives, contribute to us. And I just happened to have this thought and I was like, man, you know, David Blau took them to, because he ended up taking, he was going to take me, you, your mom, and then him and his girlfriend at the time. And it just ended up being you, you took one of your other friends, your mom, him and his girlfriend. And so y'all went to go see Hamilton. And I was like, dude, you know what? You played part of this story. I just want to thank you. You know, you took my kid to see Hamilton. And we've, you know, not throwing away my shot. You know, like we've done all the things. We've memorized the songs. That's become part of it. You had an idea what a play was because of that scenario and other ones. And I thanked him. I don't know if I didn't tell you that, but I texted him. I thanked him. I was like, yo, dude, like that's rad. I appreciate that. And
yeah,
he told me to tell you that he was proud of you and he can't wait to hear about it. And so... yeah, it was just, it was incredible. It was incredible to hear the topics. But seriously, parents, listen, these kids are paying attention to every single thing that you do. They are listening to every word that comes out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
They are watching you cut people off in traffic. They are watching the way you pay attention to politics. They're listening to the way you interpret it. They are listening to everything. And they have such an easy access to information now that they can go find something, they can go look at something, they can go get another opinion on the internet. And the internet will raise these kids if you don't. So I promise you that. Like, parents, hear me out. Please hear me out. Doesn't matter how old or young your kid is. Period. Get involved. Ask them questions. Bring up a topic and be surprised about how much they know about it. That's what I recommend for every parent out there. How can parents, Hannah, how can parents do a better job of staying involved with the information and the amount of information that comes out of your phones at y'all?
I guess probably just talking to them.
Yeah.
And asking them how their day was, like, If the parent had a bad day or if the kid had a bad day, still, like, try and talk to him about it. But if they had a bad day, like, if the kid had a bad day, still, like, give him space, obviously.
Yeah.
Because they might not want to, like, talk about it right away, you know?
Yeah.
But I would probably just recommend to just talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I honestly, as you were saying it and as it was coming out of your mouth, I could not think of a better way to end season one than the advice to just talk. Seriously.
Yeah.
We have started a project that's committed to talking with each other.
Yeah.
That commits to the space that's needed to communicate with each other. And we just talk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when something comes up, we talk about it. And if there's something comes up that you need some space around, you get some space around it. But then we talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
We just got to talk. And parents, just don't just talk. Don't just listen to get to be ready to talk right afterwards. Listen to try to understand. Listen to try to be empathetic. Just like these kids are learning. These kids are learning how to be empathetic. Jeez. If the adults of the world can learn how to be empathetic, please God, that is our prayer tonight, that we can learn how to just be empathetic, to listen to each other, to understand, to actually care about. When we hear something come out of someone's mouth, to actually think, what could it be like to be 12, to sit in a room listening to plays, about this topic, about that topic. What kind of questions would that make you think of? What kind of answers would you be seeking?
Yeah.
How do you communicate? Like, how, you know, and so it's just so important for us to talk to each other, you know, and mm-hmm. by talk to each other, I mean, listen to each other too.
Yeah.
So I cannot think of a better way. Great job. Great job wrapping up the season with that piece of advice, kid.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, we started with a couple of cell phones in our hands. Now we have podcasting equipment. We have microphones. We have headsets. We have everything. We know how to edit. We are not stopping. This is just the end of season one. And like I mentioned earlier, we will have a bonus episode. Bonus episode is probably going to be a little bit more like a party. And I would say like a digital card. If you could think of a digital card and a party, that's what we're going to plan on doing for our next episode, for our last episode. Okay, well, that's one way to do it. We're going to do a digital party and a card, and honestly, a thank you card to all the people that have helped us. And we just really appreciate everything so far. And we are thankful for everybody so far that has tuned in and supported us so many different ways. So many people have contributed to this project, and we just want to thank you. So, that's for you guys. That's for all of you out there that have contributed or supported in some way. We seriously thank you.
Thanks, guys.
It has meant a lot. It has been an amazing first season. And we're ending on that advice. Just talk to each other, guys. Just talk to each other. Make sure you're doing something that you're proud of and talk to each other.
Yep.
All right, we will see you at the bonus episode. Other than that, we are a wrap for season one.
Woo-hoo!
Episode 10 of the Daddy Daughter Podcast. Share together.